D&D Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Who are they?
The Guardians of the Wheels.
The Staggering Dragon presents Guardians of the Wills, a Star Wars podcast. And now here are your hosts, Neil and Dustin.
Hey everybody, I'm Dustin.
I'm Gary.
And I'm Neil. And welcome to the Guardians of the Wills podcast, where each week we talk about our theories on Cobra Kai Season 3. But before we get to that, let's go to our featured D20 Radio Network podcast of the episode. Take it away, Dustin.
And that podcast is me and Steve talk RPGs. Not me personally. That's just the title of the podcast.
Well, you're not Steve.
On this podcast, two friends have casual, rambling discussions on various topics surrounding tabletop RPG games. On the latest episode, number 16, the Steves kick back and recount memories from games of their past. From the legend of the Twinkie Adventure to Dubs, to the night that Bubba went crazy and the Ranger taking a knee, it's a trip down memory lane as the boys share some of their favorite gaming stories. You can find this and many other great podcasts at d20radio.com.
Awesome.
The night that Bubba went crazy.
That's wonderful. Awesome. So both their names are Steve?
Steve's.
I thought
Steves.
One of them's name was me. That's not the case. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
Pull up a stool and grab a glass of blue milk. It's time for Cantina Talk.
We have something cool for Cantina Talk. Well, I think it's always cool. Whatever we choose to talk about is super cool because this is all about being hip. But this week, we are going to talk about YouTube channel videos floating around. It's Hacksmith Industries making a proto lightsaber. So, have you guys watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Watched them, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, yeah.
What'd you guys think about it?
Gary, why don't you tell us about what it was in this here video?
Since you're the only one of us that will understand it.
Oh, yes. Now, come on. Well, hey, you know what? It was very impressive. These guys, it's a Make It Real lab, and they build a 4,000-degree plasma proto-lightsaber. My son bugged me about it and said I needed to watch it, and I had already seen bits and pieces of it, you know, weeks ago, months ago, a month ago, or whenever it was out. But they decide that they're going to, it's funny because they had created, lightsabers, quote unquote, lightsabers in the past where it was just a piece of metal, you know, a piece of steel or whatever it happened to be that they had, ignited to, you know, really high temperatures and used it to cut through things, but they got so much hate mail about that's not a real lightsaber, la, 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 la. Which was awesome. That made me laugh so much because when I first heard about this, I'm like, that's not a real lightsaber. And I find out that they did this because people were pissed
off.
I was one of those guys. I was hating on them too, but it is just absolutely fantastic. They go, as an engineering teacher anyway, it was great to see every little bit of every step of the process where they are prototyping, going through each individual step. It looks to me like it's SolidWorks that they're using for the design of it. Pretty darn impressive.
It is impressive.
Yeah.
I enjoy that they talk about it being a proto lightsaber.
Right.
If anybody listening doesn't know what a proto lightsaber is, shut it down right now. So, you know, And I guess this would be Legends, I assume, because I don't believe it's been talked about in anything canon, has it, that I can think of?
I don't think so.
But at one point, you know, lightsabers weren't just the hilt with the battery pack in there and the fancy crystal. You had to have a battery pack on your hip or wherever it was located on your back, whatever, then with a pipe, not pipe, but cord coming to it to power the lightsaber. So that was part of the history for a while. So that's why they're calling it a proto lightsaber, as they should.
As they made the point, though, I mean, you'd have to have the amount of energy that you're going to get from a nuclear. The guy in the video said nuclear. I am not going to, you know, I won't make a comment about that, though. But you have to have the amount of power of a nuclear reactor to really make a lightsaber. And you know, and then they switch over to liquid propane in this one, which reminded me a lot more of Kylo Ren's saber.
Yeah.
So sure I thought that was
all
that
jaggedy
was very cool.
And unstable.
Yep. Yeah. That was
you know
that was
the
neat.
The thing that the thing that crossed my mind while I was watching it, and they were like, "Yeah, you've got a power pack like this at home. It's in your barbecue grill.
Yeah.
It's just
a
propane tank." All I could think was, how many people just went and grabbed their propane tank out of their barbecue grill and accidentally lit themselves, their dog, or their small child on fire?
I just brought it inside and just opened the valve and let it spew out. And here soon, I'm going to have my own lights. I think it eventually will just start working. I assume. I don't really know.
I went out back and lit up a whole bunch of lightsabers and then cooked a steak.
Mmm, delicious.
Bantha?
It was excellent.
Or otherwise.
Bantha steaks.
Bantha steak. It was indeed Bantha. So fatty, though. Mm.
Best part
anyway,
of it.
Just, oh, so well done.
If when they get it perfected, I'm not saying I would sell, like, my arms and legs to have a lightsaber, but I definitely sell my kids' arms and legs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
definitely
that's what you should do, right?
Well, what are your kids for? What'd you have them for in the first place?
Bargaining chips. Okay.
To harvest, to get a kidney from them, right?
That's right. We'll revisit that when they learn to say nuclear, so Gary's not angry, and
that's
when
right.
the lightsaber's complete. So
and when they equip every guardian of Space Force
oh God.
With one of these lightsabers.
That's right.
And they're
that's exactly
carrying around
right.
a liquid propane tank on their back and
I'm joining
and,
if that's the
and
case.
And then dealing with the pressure differential when they get into space. I'm gonna stay out of that one.
Okay. Well, now we're gonna move on to the reason we're all here, which sadly is not to discuss our theories for Cobra Kai season three, although I'm super excited a couple weeks for that before that comes out, and I will be watching it. Anyway, we're going to move on to our prime focus.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Time for this episode's Prime Focus.
We're going to move on to our Prime Focus, which shockingly, after the last seven episodes, is going to be the eighth episode of Season 2 of The Mandalorian. So Chapter 16, The Rescue, which is, of course, the season finale. I am excited.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to do next. What did you do just before this? Step 5. Let's go on to Step 6, then. Okay.
I am ready. So, are we ready for this?
Yeah, if you guys haven't been listening for the last, I don't know how many episodes, and this is the first one that you decided to listen to, we're doing a commentary.
Thanks for joining.
So, we're doing a commentary. So get your Disney Pluses up. Log into your Disney Plus. Click on The Mandalorian, Season 2, Episode 8, Chapter 16. Get ready, rewind it to zero. On when I say go, everybody's going to hit play.
I'm ready.
All right?
I'm ready.
All right. One, two, three, go.
It's playing. You have something. And it's recap.
All right. straight into the recap. We get some Bo-Katan.
We do.
You have something I want.
There's a whole lot that they cram into this recap. Because, as you can imagine, joking. With the season finale, there's a lot coming to a head here.
Yeah, and it oh, man. I always watch the recaps. I don't know if you guys do, but I always do because I love the way they put them together. Since it's not just last episode, they make it relevant to what's coming with each episode. So it's always fun because then you kind of can guess what it's going to be.
As much as they showed Ahsoka in the recap, I thought, oh, she might make an appearance in this episode, you know. But then when they showed the Dark Troopers that much, I'm like, oh, it's going down.
It is.
Yeah, you kind of assumed that you're going to find out what the call to whoever Jedi it was. You're going to get that answered in this episode.
So we missed it last week. I missed my shot, as they say, and I wanted to bring up who we thought it was going to be. I wanted to ask Dustin, and we were going to take turns answering. And actually, my question... I talked about it after we were done recording, but I said, you know, A, do you think that a Jedi is going to show up? And then B, who do you think it will be? And I think we both agreed that we thought somebody would show up, but I'm fairly certain neither of us guessed who it was going to be.
Right.
And I really thought I wish we would have gotten to, but it's just one of those things we know, you know, we kind of kept talking. I wish we'd have gotten to, because what I would have said is I thought that it was going to be the very last thing was going to maybe be either you see a lightsaber or whatever, just something to announce that this is a Jedi that has entered into the room or whatever they were going to be in at the time. Obviously, at that time, I wouldn't have known. But then that was going to kind of just leave it hanging till the next season, which, from what we understand, is scheduled for 2025, sounds like.
Love the effect of the ion cannon there. It was so well done.
Yeah, so how did they find the scientist? They just kind of like, here he is, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
we're on his tail.
He
I
was
guess
on
it doesn't
Tinder,
matter.
And he was within their search radius. Come on, man.
You guys made the point last week, but the way that they portrayed the rotation inside of Slave One or in the Fire Spray was so awesome. And yeah, I've been waiting for that for years and years and years.
So as we get into this scene, I really appreciate this scene because, and I think we've all, but I'm guessing a lot of us have had this conversation of the rebels. Were the rebels terrorists? Do you view them as terrorists? And I like listening to this pilot and give his little spiel about how it was worth it for to get rid of some of the terrorism in the galaxy. And I think it's cool because it's the two sides of every coin. Certainly not saying he's right by stretch of the imagination, but he's I guess within his right to have that view that they are the good guys.
I'm not sure he picked the right person to vocalize it to, because
I agree with that.
Yeah, no kidding.
He wasn't very good friends with his co-pilot there.
He was not. No.
He didn't think twice about blowing him away.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, that reminds me of so many other scenes of that kind of a hostage situation where somebody takes that shot and, like, blows the guy's ear half off or all kinds of other things could happen there. The rescue.
Makes me so happy. So something I saw, and you guys, very real chance you saw it too. If I was better at this than I am, I would say his name, but the third Mandalorian of that was with Bo-Katan in the episode she was in is not in this episode. And
that's true.
You know, and of course, I'm assuming you guys probably also wondered why. I sure did. Well, not very good at being on Twitter or anything, but I saw pictures of it. So people were questioning him. Why weren't you in the final episode of The Mandalorian? Why were you no longer with Bo-Katan or, you know, whatever, probably just expected, I don't know, I wasn't in it, but he said something along the lines of, all will be explained, this is the way. Like, oh my God, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless he's just blown smoke, which he could be, I don't think he probably is. I think they probably really do know where he is right now. The writers, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I love that kind of crap.
I need your help.
I also love Boba's paint job. I love it.
Yeah.
That matte color, the matte finish, I mean.
Yeah, he definitely cleaned it up.
Took me a minute to come around to it, but
it did.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh man, yeah, I love it. Did. I loved it immediately.
We don't need these two. Let's get out of here.
Love this comment.
You are not a Mandalorian.
Never said I was.
This back and forth.
I also
that one right there. Did no sidekicks were allowed to talk. Sorry, Dustin. Go ahead.
I think it's really interesting that she recognizes his voice.
Oh, I love it. Love it that she recognizes his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. She immediately knows where he came from.
Yep.
Can bring me to Moff Gideon.
The Moff has a light cruiser. It could be helpful in your effort to regain Mandalore. You gotta be kidding me.
Finally, Mando's going to tell somebody they have to help him to get what they want.
Yeah. Right.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
This armor belonged to my father.
Don't you mean your donor?
Hmm.
Ooh.
You are a clone. I've heard your voice thousands of times.
Yeah, that thousands of time gets me every time I watch this, which is way too many times so far.
Yeah.
So, if this fight was allowed to continue, who would win? Would Boba Fett win or the sidekick? I don't know what her name is.
That's a good question, man. That move right there with the jetpack is so awesome.
It is right? Cool. In my mind, I want to think that Boba Fett would win, but they sure make him seem pretty evenly matched. And I don't know why I think Boba Fett would win. I guess
probably
I just
the misogyny talking.
Probably.
Because
I just
sexist.
Assume he should be totally awesome.
I don't know. She holds her own in that brief little time
she
that
does.
They have to spar.
But then, if Boba Fett and Bo-Katan were to fight, then I don't know who I would think would win.
Mm.
It is an ancient weapon that can cut through anything. Almost anything. It cannot cut through pure.
Okay, so I want to plant the seed just for maybe a second. We all have seen this episode multiple times. We all know where the Darksaber's going to end up at the end, and we all know that he's going to try to give it to her.
Yep.
When you first saw that, all I was going to say when I first saw it, of course, I've watched Rebels and all that, and I know how she got the Darksaber last time. And this seems to have caused some fighting online. Him trying to give it to her and her saying no. And we'll get there. We could talk about it more when we get there. I do want to know what everybody thinks of that when we get there. I just want to throw it out there before we get to that point.
Right.
One thing that I'll say about it right now that I found pretty hilarious was somebody put a post on the internet about how she was basically making fun of the Mandalorian and his weird religion for not taking off their helmet.
I thought about that.
But she can't just take the Darksaber from him when he gives it to her.
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
about that too.
That's a really good point.
I do have some thoughts on there, and they're not going to be, probably not going to be any original ones or anything like that, but I definitely have an opinion. Or a thought.
Let's go back
maybe
to the Go back to the pure Beskar thing for just a second. Is all of their armor made of pure Beskar? Is it just his? I mean, does the purity come with the shininess? You know, what do you think?
I never thought the purity came with the shininess, but no, I guess I didn't. I was kind of always under the impression that he would be one of very few that has pure Beskar armor since
right.
In the first season when he gives it to the armorer, doesn't she even kind of make a comment along those lines?
Yeah, because his first set of armor when the series first starts is, I mean, that armor isn't as good as what he has now.
It was made of styrofoam, I believe. If I remember.
It was 3D printed.
It was.
I have a little bit of a bone to pick for with this little sequence coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's related to size of ships. You know,
okay.
The TIE fighter fills the Battlestar Galactica front end of the ship, right?
It does.
So that TIE fighter fills that area, and the transport shuttle also does. I always thought transport shuttles were bigger than TIE fighters.
I did too.
Well, according to our X-Wing miniatures, they're a little bit bigger.
That's what I was going off of. So is it?
And I always thought an X-Wing was much wider than a TIE fighter, but I'm not 100% sure that that's where the X-Wing went in towards the end, I guess, either.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Now, this, I agree. I had the same thoughts. I mean, I always thought those things were bigger, but maybe when they fold up, they're basically the same footprint. Maybe that's why they fold up, so they can fit into the same.
Well, if we're going to get nitpicky, the Gunzati cruiser or whatever it was in the first episode that Bo-Katan was on, there was like 1,000 stormtroopers on board that thing. I'm exaggerating. It felt like
995.
There was like 50 or 70. I mean, they killed like a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is gospel, but if you look at the stats for the role-playing game on that ship, it can't carry nearly that many troops.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I thought. I
sure hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
How many stormtroopers are on this thing? I will say, counting people, though, I do like how they explained that there was basically a skeleton crew on board this ship.
Yes.
Have you seen the theory about that
about that officer that was just talking?
People are suggesting that she's Sabine undercover.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And that's why she's never been shown, but she's been in multiple episodes.
In the last
it's just so tight.
Doesn't she get killed at the end of this episode?
Right, and that it was all before.
Oh, does she? Well, yeah, probably everybody else on that ship does.
It was all before this episode, so, yeah. I don't know.
Well, then
does she get killed?
Dead, is what Gary's saying.
We'll find out.
I love how Boba Fett, right before he goes into hyperspace here, he just takes care of these TIE fighters like it's nothing.
Right.
He's just been toying with them the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I always
like peace out.
I'm going to leave, but I'm going to kill you first.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason to. Because they're going to murder everybody on the ship anyway. Do you want to die here or there?
So, things that I like is like seeing the inside of this hangar and how the TIE fighters are arranged. And you know we got some of that in, especially like The Force Awakens
at the
beginning. You get to see how they deploy the TIE fighters. I love like seeing the logistical workings of like the insides of these ships and how stuff actually works like that.
Definitely.
Okay.
I agree.
So, Death Troopers, tell me your thoughts on the music that's happening right now.
I love it. I'm into
Death Trooper disco rave music.
Yeah, it's you're getting into industrial.
I'm into
it's like
it.
Einstrich and Neubauten or whatever they were called.
I'm not 100% in on it.
You're not.
You don't like it? I do.
I'm not a big fan of the music. I think it's too different from the
I've seen quite a few people were kind of complaining about it. So I think you probably have a good point. But the thing about the Death Troopers that really gets me, and I realize episode one came out like 65 years ago or so. What was it? 99. Yeah. So
easy.
You know,
I just turned 50.
21 years ago. Just the way those Death Troopers look versus any droid that was in the prequel trilogy is just nuts. How great they look. I love it.
What is awesome about the Death Troopers and how they move, it almost looks like a stop-motion animation kind of thing going on. Because they're real herky-jerky, but it also looks realistic. If you could imagine a droid like that, it's not going to flow like a person. It's going to be all herky-jerky like a machine.
Right.
Yep. And I think that's so awesome how they did that.
Yeah, it's great. You know,
and I think it's...
Go ahead.
I was just gonna pile onto it and say, because I agree with that, because when you have a bunch of robots in a show and they're just moving fluid like a human, it does kind of take you out of it. I totally agree. I love the way they move.
Yeah. Did they already show that LOM droid? Did it already go by?
Walking through the hallway.
Yeah. So the point I was going to make is these fight scenes, you know, even when they come right off of the Imperial Transport Shuttle, right when they first get into the hangar, they could have been so lazy with this. They could have had all of these. They could have had Bo-Katan and her sidekick, whatever her name is. That shot right there is perfect.
I love that, too.
She rolled a triumph there. Because that guy was in double cover. Anyway,
hey, the GM needs to ratchet up the difficulty of this encounter, right. By the way.
They do. I like when the stormtroopers just kind of jog lazily with their guns at their side to be shot.
Well, and that's the thing is they could have easily just gone through guns a-blazing and taken out all of those troopers. Instead, they use jet... There's the LOM.
There he is.
They used their jetpacks, they used their cables, they used all of the different possibilities that they have, all of the different weapons that they have there to their disposal to take them out. This is not lazy.
So Ming-Na Wen, Fennec, here. How old do you guys think she is, or do you know how old she is?
I do know.
Actress or character?
Actress.
I don't know.
Oh, well, guess.
Gary, guess, how old do you think she is?
She looks like she's maybe a little bit older. I don't know, 35?
That is, you got it.
She's 57 years old.
Holy cow.
Human years.
I know.
It's nuts.
Well, she was on ER, so that already, you know, got to think about
she
that.
Was Chun-Li in the Street Fighter movie.
She was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also.
Yeah. 57.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about 57 years old? Are you serious? And
maybe
yeah,
I should eat
like
right and exercise.
See, I look about 7 years younger than she does. I love how his helmet doesn't collapse.
It's awesome. And
Reagan
going back
smash.
To what Dustin was saying earlier, when they're doing that punch, God, I love that. I love how mechanical it looks.
It is so awesome. Melt the wiring. Nope.
Really getting a Cylon vibe.
Yep.
With these Death Troopers.
Yeah, a lot of people were commenting on that kind of thing with... You know, of course, Katie Sackhoff being from Battlestar Galactica, and then the ship launcher at the front of the cruiser, and now the Cylon.
I don't know where he was keeping that spear, because I've watched this multiple times, and that when he's skidding around, I could never find it on his person.
It was sitting on the ground.
Fell off of him.
It was sitting on the ground. Okay, because I've looked and looked, and I can never find it sitting on the ground because I'm blind.
Yeah.
Not on him anymore. Where'd it go?
I feel like they didn't do quite a good enough job of showing where it was because it's in like one scene and you can just barely see it sitting there.
See that it had come off of him? Okay, because that had been bugging me and I've looked multiple times and I kept missing it.
And Cara Dune pulls a Fonzie.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I do like that too.
Oh. And they just rush this bridge. There's no waiting for anything. It's just go time.
Right.
And the stormtroopers still kind of slowly roll out with their guns raised this time, pointed at the air just in case. The intimidation factor.
Where
So was she blown away there? Was she there?
I was kind of watching. I didn't notice.
I assume everybody on that bridge, like Gideon says, is dead.
It would be interesting if they did not show her as much as we've seen her throughout this entire season.
So I've got a question about the Moff here. And it's probably an unpopular opinion, but I'll tell you guys what I think, but what do you guys think of him as a villain? Because I'm kind of not really, I mean, he's okay, but you know who I view as a villain more than this was that officer that Bill Burt's character blew away in that episode before this.
In the last episode?
You know what I mean? Yeah, because that guy was like, you're just like, God, I hate that guy. Like, I want that guy to die. And Moff Gideon, I'm kind of like, well, I mean, I guess he's okay as a villain, but he's not really striking that chord with me.
I think it goes back to it's more opposing sides. And in his view, he's not wrong necessarily. And it makes it easier not necessarily to be sympathetic with him, but to just be like, oh, he's just a guy on the other side. Where like that guy in the last episode, his whole bit was to be creepy and awful. And I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but because I think I see what you're saying. But then at the same time, he did steal what seems like a toddler, even if the toddler's only 50 years old, to drain its blood. So he's yeah, he's not true. A great person by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't know. I kind of see what you're saying because I kind of agree, but I think he makes sense for this show because he has a goal he's trying to achieve, although we still don't all the way know what it is. We obviously assume it has something to do with cloning from the vats or the tanks we saw earlier and something with the Force to study. And he brings up multiple. He just wanted to study him and da-da-da-da-da. But I do see what you're saying, though. He doesn't exude the straightforward. He doesn't wear a name badge that says, hello, my name is Villain. And
right.
I do kind of see what you're saying, but I think I like him. I think he makes sense for this show.
I think you can make an argument that he's a Moff in name alone. You look at the Empire has just gone through a major. If you talk about what happened at the end of Return of the Jedi, if you talk about what happens through the Aftermath trilogy, they've lost the vast majority of all of their fighting force. So he. Knowing what we know because of the sequel trilogy, we can only assume that he has some sort of an in. He just said he wants to return order to the galaxy. So does he know that the Emperor survived? If so, is he kind of a specialist type of person that they put in this role because he has some scientific background? Tarkin has a militaristic background, absolutely militaristic, and that's why he was put in charge of that first Death Star. And I've got to believe that the same kind of thing could be said for this character. Obviously.
That's a good point, because I believe that the whole point of what the Empire is doing here is to bring Palpatine back or try to clone him or do something, which ends up being Snoke and then ends up being Palpatine eventually.
Right. I also think, to your point about, how does he feel as a villain? I also, and I don't know about you guys, but I firmly believe since we first saw Moff Gideon that he isn't the top level of his region or whatever you want to call it. Whatever he's controlling, he's not even the top level of it. I don't have any proof of that, obviously, or anything like that, but that's just how I've personally always felt, is there's somebody above him.
Well, he probably answers
totally
to Thrawn,
understand
right?
that, yeah.
Huh? That's not what
you Don't you think he answers to Thrawn?
Could be. Or Thrawn's still out in the nether regions, and they all think he's dead, but It's hard telling. It's
yours now. Well, we know that the dark saber. Husk, right? That he was the was he Moff or Grand Admiral or what was he? What was his title in the Aftermath trilogy? Because then it was his son that took over, and had gone out with helped form the First Order.
Yeah. So here we are. He's trying to give her the saber. She's saying no. Sabine gave her the saber. She said yes. So this has been irking some people because she took it once. Why wouldn't she take it now? And I think that's the precise reason she won't take it now. We don't know how she lost it, but one of the reasons she may have lost it is because she had it given to her and people didn't respect her for it. So then when push came to shove and they had to defend everything, maybe she didn't have the full support of people. Or then when she technically didn't earn it because it was relinquished to her or, you know, yielded to her, and then she did lose it in battle, then people are told, well, you were never worthy of it because you won it without fighting and you lost it, you know, in the fight you had for it. So a lot of people were saying, what's a plot hole? I don't necessarily agree with that. It could be a plot hole if they don't explain it, but I just can't imagine it's not going to be brought up at some time.
But she never said, no, I won't take it.
I think her silence speaks volumes. He's the one who said it. She wasn't going to take it. And she wasn't going to say why. And she looked pissed when he showed up with it.
I totally agree, but she never said it. He's the one who said it. He's pushing buttons.
I also think he... But
he's
I think
a crafty
he
bastard.
Knew it exactly. I think he got everything he wanted. I think he knew he wasn't going to beat any of them in a fight, but he didn't want to lose to her because he wanted to. It sows a seed of, I don't know, not anger, but what would that be? Like a feuding seed between the two of them now.
Drives a wedge.
There you go. That's clearly what I was looking for and I couldn't think of. But I don't know. That's kind of got me a little bit. Like I said, probably nothing original. Plenty of people, I'm sure, have had the exact same thought I did. But that boggles my mind. What do you guys think about it?
I think you explained it pretty well right there. I mean, that makes sense to me. And I also think that season 3 is going to purely be about... There might be some kind of rift between Bo-Katan and the Mandalorian, but it's going to be trying to put Mandalore back together or taking it back or whatever. And right now the Mandalorian is, you know, he's got the Darksaber, so maybe he is going to be the one that restores everything. Which would make sense as he is the main character.
Yeah. Right. And she busted his chops about not wanting to take his helmet off. And you know, of his stupid thing that he had. Oh, you won't take your helmet off. Well, now she won't take the Darksaber from him that he doesn't care about. So bust her chops, too. Just take it. I don't care. No one has to know.
Right.
Tell him you beat me up and took it.
Yeah. Right.
Back to punching. And I love it.
Reagan smash.
So,
you know, at the beginning of the episode, I kind of figured, okay, since we saw the scene where Baby Yoda's reaching out with the Force on Tython to call the Jedi. At that point, at the very beginning, I was like, oh, we're going to get an answer to that. I bet that's going to be at the end of the episode. Now, when this is happening, and I'm watching it for the first time, I wasn't thinking of that.
Right.
Because I was like wrapped up with what was going on that I didn't put two and two together the first time.
Yeah.
That was going to be their savior.
Yeah, and when they say, which he says an X-Wing showed up, and oh, one X-Wing, we're saved, I paused it. So I was like, what? Because you knew that's the only person that's showing up in an X-Wing. It's not going to be it's not going to be Dave Filoni's X-Wing that he was in to show up and wreck.
Right.
There's only one person.
Hey, guys, you guys need a rescue?
Yeah,
maybe he sent somebody. Maybe Luke sent someone else to pick him up. But why would he send somebody else in his X-Wing?
Yeah.
You know, that just didn't make sense to me. I'm like, Luke Skywalker's here.
Yeah. And that just...
Yeah, so when this happened, I was like, oh my God, that's Luke Skywalker. Yeah. And then you really, you kind of like, there's still some doubt creeping in your head.
There is.
You're like, well, is it really? Could it be him?
Right.
And then you see Grogu kind of perk up and you're like, well, that's definitely a Jedi.
Yeah.
Definitely is.
Who else and uses a green lightsaber?
You start to see the scenes play out.
Yeah, and you don't see the green lightsaber right away since it's in black and white.
No, you don't. Yeah, so you get the cloaked figure
first,
coming up here in just a second.
And you see the saber before you know it's green.
Right.
Yes, and you see the saber on the black and white screen, you're still not 100%, but you're like, oh my God, is this Luke Skywalker?
Right.
You don't really know yet.
You really don't know. And then you see a glove here fairly soon.
The stabbing motion.
Yeah.
Coming up here.
There.
Right there.
That's when I was just like.
And then I was like, oh my God, this is Luke Skywalker. And then I was starting to think, wow, this is a really clever way of putting Luke Skywalker in here where we don't really get to see him that much. We're seeing him through like security feeds and stuff like that. We don't really get to see his face or anything. I was like, oh, well, that's a pretty clever way of doing it.
Yeah, and thinking he's gonna take care of him and then fly away. Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the parallels between Luke coming through and just mowing down these dark troopers and sacrifice yourself. But Luke mowing down these dark troopers and the end of Rogue One with Vader in the hallway. Awesome. I think there are some major parallels between those two scenes.
Yep, there are. I definitely think it was intentional. Dustin and I have talked about this on this show multiple times, and Dustin and I have talked about it for off the show for thousands of hours. But all I've ever wanted is to see the all-powerful, whatever you want to word that, but the height of his power, Luke, show up on screen and do
Jedi
something
Master.
Like yep. this. Yes, Jedi Master, full Jedi Master Luke that knows what he's doing to just come through and wreck something.
Right.
And wreck it, he does.
Boy, does this do anything besides make me want more of it? I don't think it does, because that's all I want.
Yeah.
And it's I'm so happy, and the variety of what he's doing with using the Force and lightsaber and all that. But it's, and they do so good at making it just it's so effortless, and that's all I ever wanted.
Yeah. One with the Force.
Yep.
It's perfect. It's so well done.
It is.
I mean, he crushes these guys.
He literally crushes
especially
the last
that one right there.
It's almost like he's having fun doing it.
The glove is a little bit of a giveaway.
And I like that it's the Dark Troopers because it's droids, so he can do whatever he wants, as many flourishes as he wants, and it's a robot.
Right.
I mean, it's a soulless, lifeless robot, so you can't say, oh my God, he's enjoying killing people.
He doesn't get any dark side points for that.
Which, in my opinion, is exactly why George Lucas made the main antagonists in the prequels droids.
Because
he couldn't have Jedi running around killing actual people.
I agree. I completely agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with Jedi killing living beings, but to just massacre them like you're saying, I think he wanted to avoid that too.
I love how the door doesn't open all the way up after being smashed.
Uh-huh.
That could have been lazy. The belt buckle.
Yep.
Dead giveaway. How about the face?
Can't see it through my tears. No. I think it's fine. I would take an entire series of Luke looking like that. I get that is not... They did not go back in time and get Mark Hamill from 1983 to do this. But I'm good with that. There's always... It's not... I mean, yes, you can tell that there's special effects going on, but it's good enough. It's a lot better than Leia was in Rogue One.
They've gotten Leia,
a lot better with the technology. Yeah.
Tarkin was perfect in Rogue One.
Tarkin was in shadow a lot in Rogue One. It seemed like, anyway. And Leia, when they had her, it was bright fluorescent lights on her face.
If you go look up the guy that's the stand-in for this scene, and you see his face, like you can see him in this scene, but at the same time they made it, I mean, it's like a hybrid of that guy and 1983 Mark Hamill.
The same was true with Leia.
So this also begs the question, because this is always, it's always going to be a subject when they do something, de-age somebody or have a stand-in and then do the deep fake or whatever on them. Would you guys be mad, or would you say, I don't care or whatever, if they recast Luke, a younger Luke? Because me personally, it wouldn't bug me. It really wouldn't bug me. It's still Luke Skywalker.
Are you saying would or wouldn't?
Would not. I'd be totally fine with it. But I'm fine with this.
Well, hold on. Before we answer that question, Mando just took his helmet off.
He sure did.
Pretty
in front
pretty
of a
impactful.
Lot of people.
Yeah, and I mean, you want to talk about solidifying that bond between the two of them, you know.
Yeah, so is this the last we're going to see of Grogu? I don't think
so.
No way. He makes too much money for Disney for this to be the end of Grogu.
He sure does.
Ugh.
Yeah, and so I wasn't even putting two and two together again, and then I'm like, oh yeah, R2! It's R2!
So,
it sure is R2.
When the X-Wing came flying in, I gotta just say this, and I had the same response when R2 comes rolling in, but when the X-Wing came flying in, my son made the sound that I made when I was in the stands at Arrowhead watching Damian Williams carry in one of those touchdowns that sealed it for us, and then I knew we were going to the Super Bowl at that point. It's a dry sob, which wasn't totally dry. the elation, the sob of elation when you know great things are happening.
Great things are happening.
Oh my gosh, this whole episode, the whole season has been, oh my gosh,
and
an
now,
emotional roller coaster.
In my mind, there is no possible way that Luke and Ahsoka can't meet. If they haven't already.
Happening.
Maybe they already have. But
it's 100% happening.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's already happened in this timeline, whatever, on screen, they've got to meet now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to happen, because Luke is going to tell Ahsoka that he turned good in the end, because you have to have that moment. People have been putting memes about it on the internet, and that has to happen.
I agree.
That does have to happen.
And I may do what Din's doing right there and bawl when that happens.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have Ahsoka react, and I'm going to react.
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to your question, I don't necessarily want another actor to play Luke. I would much rather have the stand-in computer face thing. If I was going to choose, that's what I would
You'd choose.
Think.
If I was going to... I haven't thought of it so much as what I would choose if I was going to choose. I'm just fine with either one. I'd have to think about it more if I was going to decide. Because I think I'd miss his... I think I'd miss Mark Hamill's voice more than his face.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Maybe that would be what would, in the end, make me decide, I'd want the deep fake version.
So, I got to ask this question. I have a multitude of questions for you guys. In fact, I think it would make a segment for this podcast of me just asking you guys questions. Maybe next week?
Maybe.
My question is along the lines of, so if you think about this entire show that we've seen so far with two seasons of this. You've had a lot of characters from other sections of Star Wars, from other, you know, whether it be movies or animated series or whatever, show up. Ahsoka, Boba Fett, now Luke Skywalker. We have set a lot of precedent with many other characters making the leap from, you know, whether it's... the other bounty hunter, all of the other bounty hunters that were in the original trilogy, in one scene that show up in the Clone Wars, the guy with the white...
Dengar?
Dengar, thank you. With Dengar showing up and getting this... So, my question is, given that the CGI exists to make them younger, or the fact that we had Donald Glover take over the character Lando so perfectly well, what other character throughout a Star Wars would you like to see make an appearance in this show?
Wow.
In this show,
a big
or
question.
In live action?
In this show. In this show.
In this show. We don't know what
Ahsoka is going to be like. We don't know what the Rangers is going to be like. Ponder that question, but we have a big scene.
Let's think about that.
Okay.
Because did you guys know that there was a post-credit scene the first time you watched it?
I did because you texted me.
I didn't. I just kind of happened to still have the credits going.
I was exactly the same way. I don't know what made me keep them going, but I did. Because I think I was texting you, Neil, at like 5:30 in the morning.
Although they had one at the end of the first season, so I should have probably been thinking there was a good chance of it. But no, I just kind of happened to have a kick still going. It wasn't that
they did
one
have
when
one
gets
at the...
out of the Darksaber. Wasn't that after the or during the credits, too?
I don't think
so. Was it right at the end?
I think so.
Okay, well,
what scene? Mind. What scene are you talking about?
When Gideon
gets out
cuts
of the TIE
his
fighter.
Way out
oh.
of the TIE fighter.
Yeah, no, that was before credits.
Okay, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, never mind. I just got lucky then.
So, Gary, what were you going to say about Fat Bib Fortuna?
Yeah, he's been
that's the only
sitting
one I
there.
Want to come back.
I think he's emulating Jabba a little too much. He's becoming more. It's the throne, so Hutts are not necessarily fat, but if they sit on that particular throne, it has magical properties that make them fat.
I love his voice, too.
Obviously, that's not true, but Bib, man, you got a goiter, and you need to cut your nails, dude.
Yeah.
Or you're dead.
He just slumps over.
He doesn't even...
Yeah, I love how he doesn't fall out of the chair.
I do,
he
too.
He's too fat to fall out of the chair.
It gave him an opportunity to just chuck him off the chair. I mean, Boba comes in, sets his dominance right off the bat, and it is not afraid to just throw people around. I can't wait for this show.
Finnick's first thing is, I'm going to go get a drink back here.
Right. Blue milk or whatever it is.
Bask in this glory.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
The Book of
December
Boba Fett.
December 2021. Right. Okay.
We have to wait another year.
Yeah.
So back to your question. So when you say in this show, then I would assume you mean this time frame.
Yeah.
That makes it tougher.
Yeah.
For me personally. So, well, I shouldn't say makes it tougher for me personally. It just makes it tougher because there's a lot of things from Legends that are in Legends that I'd like to see make that leap, like you're saying. But mm-hmm. What I want to see that to me should be in this time frame, and not that we really saw it in that episode, but I want to see Luke going out and searching for potential students. I really, really want to see that. Is that what he was doing when he heard Grogu's call, or did he just happen to be the one that responded? Was he already out and about looking for it? I want to see him, you know. I'm not saying he has to go recruit Kyle Katarn necessarily or anything like that. Doesn't have to. So I guess I'm getting as I don't even have to be a specific Jedi from this time frame or Jedi student from this time frame that he finds, but that's what I want to see. I want to see that aspect of Legends. If we're going farther into the future, there's a few couple specific Jedi I'd like to see, but not, we won't worry about that right now. But that's what I'd like to see make the leap. And when I saw Luke come in, all I could think is, oh my God, please show him going out searching for potential students. I would.
Well, obviously, obviously, Filoni and Favreau are not afraid. I mean, it's a triple F now, fearless Filoni and Favreau, right? by bringing in Luke Skywalker, of all people, they are not afraid, and they're not afraid. I mean, they're trying to heal a wedge that was driven in between the Legends fans and what the new trilogy caused. Sorry, Dustin, go ahead. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I could pick a character, but more than that character is the idea of that character. And I start thinking this time frame in Legends, and one of my favorite characters is Talon Card. But I want the thing that's been missing from Star Wars since
1983.
Since 1983, and that is the smuggler.
Yep.
The rogue smuggler, swashbuckler character, but he's also incredibly charming. Like Talon Card was incredibly charming. Having that kind of character in the middle of everything, I think, would be really interesting.
Han Solo obviously filled that role.
I should say, guess, also, because it's not a complaint, and they do show up in Rebels now, I guess, but I love the Nogri and the way they are in the Thrawn trilogy, and I like the whole story behind it of, you know, how they call Leia Lady Vader and all that, and they looked at Vader. And so I guess if I did have to boil it down to, I still am not doing it though, because it's still a species. I want to see the Nogri, but I want them to have that backstory is why I want to see him, and I don't know that that's backstory they have anymore, I guess. I can't really remember in that new Thrawn trilogy. They don't really give their backstory, do they?
Not necessarily, I don't think.
Because it's still Rook.
Not like they did in Legends.
Yeah, because isn't it still Rook in the... Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. But anyway, I guess if I did have to... Oh, there, y'all just say Rook. Good enough. But no, it's still Luke searching. That's what I want.
There's a lot of stuff we could talk about pertaining to this, and I think we should save that for the next episode.
I agree.
Because we're going to do a whole lot of talking about the future of Star Wars in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, and like I said, I have a list of questions that I can't wait to ask you guys that pull from your expanded knowledge of the Star Wars universe that I don't have because I haven't read nearly. I can't even hold a candle to what you've read. And so I can't wait to have that conversation. Can I open it up to listeners to submit questions?
Yeah, totally. That's a good idea.
Hey, you guys out there, if you have a question that you want me to ask them, if you're on the D20 Radio Discord server, you can find me, or just if you're in Discord, period, you can find me, and my username is Gary hashtag 1179. Please shoot me a direct message on there. Don't give them the question. You got to shoot me a direct message. Don't leave it as a comment, because I don't want them to have any idea what the questions are going to be, because I just popped this one on them, and I love the response that I got. So you guys out there, shoot me a question. I will ask them next week.
It's going to be like finals at the end of the semester.
It's finals. That's exactly right. You guys are being tested on your opinions.
Good.
The nice thing is it's a completion grade, so you guys will be okay.
Good.
I like those.
That's perfect.
Okay, so severed limb rating, is it I mean, seriously? They brought back Luke Skywalker, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to justify it with an answer.
We need to start. What's another species with more than seven limbs?
Yeah. I agree.
All
of the limbs off a Kraken.
Yeah. it cut off all of Cthulhu's tentacles as well.
Tentacles.
There you go. All right. Excellent. Well, let's wrap this up because I feel like our next episode is going to be a lengthy one and we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. So
yep.
We're going to go ahead and wrap up our commentary on season two. I can't believe it's already over.
Yeah, it does feel like it just started, but it took 70 years to get to where it started.
Easy.
So you guys can find Guardians of the Wills on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TheStaggeringDragon.com, and D20Radio.com. We're out there on some other things like Podbean apparently too. So you can probably find us if you really want to look for us. Email us at stagdragpodcast@gmail.com if you want to leave us a comment or a question or anything. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and we always encourage you to leave us comments and feedback and let us know what you thought of Chapter 16, The Rescue. The music on this podcast is by the band A Galactic Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing next? We kind of already talked about
it. We're just looking to the future of Star Wars, even though all of Star Wars has happened already, because it was a long time ago.
Because it is a documentary.
It is a documentary.
It is.
But we're definitely still going to look to the future. Obviously, we all know they've made some announcements recently, so stuff we want to talk about, I guess.
I can't wait. So,
please listen next time. Bye-bye.
Be good while we're apart.
And may the force of others be with you.
You've been listening to the Guardians of the Wills podcast. This podcast is not affiliated with Disney or Lucasfilm and is meant for entertainment and educational purposes only.
May the force be with you.